Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mouth of the Time podcast brought to you by the Shields Gazette. I'm Dominic Skerr, joined here as ever by Joe Buck to chat all things Newcastle United in this January transfer window. We're halfway through the second week of the transfer window now, 19 days remaining. Joe, how are you feeling about how everything's going at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, off the field, can't really complain. On the field, I think we'll come to that later. There might be one or two negative points on the field, but no, certainly off the field with the transfer business, it's going well.
Yeah, it's the second week running. We've sort of timed the podcast quite well. Last week it was with Kieran Trippier sign, and he did the following day. And then this week it's all about Chris Wood. I mean, I was thinking yesterday, probably being quite a depressing podcast talking about an FA Cup defeat and a missing out on signings. But we've had some good news on Tuesday night that Chris Wood, 25 million in that region, moved from Burnley. Relegation rivals, obviously, on Tyneside for medical today, Wednesday. So, potentially another good piece of business from Newcastle, do you think, Joe?
Absolutely. It's pretty much exactly what we need. It's, you know, Wood, he knows how to score goals in the Premier League. He's done it. I think you've got a piece either out today or soon about that he's the only, one of the only five or six players to score 10 goals, you know, in the last two or three seasons, which is exactly what you need is for a team down the bottom. You know, we've got Callum Wilson. Obviously, he's going to be injured for what looks like another 2 months. So Chris Wood is an ideal replacement understudy and someone who you can rely on to get the goals that Newcastle need to try and stay up.
Yeah, and I think we'll get onto it in a second, but the Cambridge game, they just lacked any real focal point. And I think Chris Wood provides that, is something different to Callum Wilson, but at the same time, is that sort of figurehead that can lead the attacking line.
Absolutely. You're right, like with Cambridge, Newcastle played a lot out wide. We were forced out wide and forced to put crosses in the box. Now, we're not going to face a defence like Cambridge every week. You know, Watford will play different at the weekend. But you're right, it gives someone to be able to, when, you know, when the moves aren't coming, when things aren't working, just to think, right, get better basics, we'll get balls in the area. And as you say, Chris Wood, they've got someone to aim that at. And especially with Kieran Trippier delivering either free kicks, corners or whatever, I think that could be something that works going forward.
Yeah, exactly that. I think for me, I'm all about this transfer. I think it's a very shrewd, clever bit of business from Newcastle. Potentially, I think he scored 49 Premier League goals for Burnley over four and a half seasons. And this is a Burnley side who average sort of less than a goal a game most seasons they've played. Even when they came seventh, I think they only scored 36 goals. So this isn't a Burnley side who create chances or too many chances, but Wood certainly gets amongst the goals for them. So for me, it ticks every box. I mean, 25 million, it's a lot of money based on what we're used to Newcastle's spending, particularly for a 30-year-old as well. But in today's market, given he's tried and tested in the Premier League, scores goals, and he helps Newcastle's chances of survival by also weakening Burnley, as well as potentially being someone who can score goals. So for me, in terms of players who you could get this month who are available and in a similar price range, in terms purely looking at Newcastle, who will help Newcastle stay in the Premier League, I think Chris Wood is an ideal one. And I think anyone turning the nose up at this transfer, it's a strange one. I don't really understand that, because you've got to ignore the fact Newcastle are the richest club in the world, because that won't matter ultimately if they're playing Championship football next season. You want to get to the summer, stay up, and then we can start to be a bit more liberal with our spending. So, yeah, for me, this is really sensible business. And I think another thing that probably gets overlooked slightly is Chris Wood, although I might jinx this slightly because he did come off with a knock in the FA Cup for Burnley on over the weekend. But he plays week in, week out for Burnley. Like, Callum Wilson, I'd argue, is a better player than Chris Wood, but you'd be lucky if you get 20, 25 starts a season out of Callum Wilson, whereas Chris Wood, he's playing sort of 30-plus games every season for Burnley, which is a key thing for me. And, yeah, I just think it's a really good piece of business. And on a less positive note, I guess we'll move on, because Newcastle's lack of a striker, which has sort of prompted this move for Chris Wood, I guess, the injury to Callum Wilson as well, Dwight Gayle obviously being unavailable, but that Cambridge FA Cup game, Joe, that was a low point in a season of lows so far, would you say?
Very much so. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, you know, Newcastle and FA Cup upsets technical hand in hand, but it was just last week, you know, when we did this podcast, there was so much positivity, you know, Trippier was signing, it looked like we were making moves, and it was, and then even when the team, you know, team sheet was announced at 2 o'clock, it was a full strength team. There was no one rested, not even the goalkeeper change. So you think, right, you know, Newcastle fully going for it. And then 90 minutes later, you know, they lost 1-0. And to be honest, I think they could have played for another 2 hours that day. And I don't think the Cambridge keeper wouldn't have been beaten. He played a blinder, and Newcastle just didn't have any answers to a solid Cambridge defence. And to be fair, you've got to give them credit. They absolutely deserved the win. Newcastle just had no answers. And as you say, Chris Wood might provide them answers, but obviously it's come 5 days too late.
Yeah, well, Joe Ironside's goal, the difference. It was a bit of a scrappy goal, but like you say, I think Cambridge deserved it given the resoluteness defending. The keeper, obviously, like you say, made several good saves. Newcastle did create chances, but that lack of cutting edge was just really telling, I thought. And I guess one positive from that game would be the crowd, because I was sat with Jordan and Liam from Newcastle World at the game, and we said it was just felt like a Premier League game almost in everything, from the lineup, from the crowd, just in everything other than the opposition, really. Did you feel that way as well, Joe?
Yeah, definitely. Especially at the beginning, obviously, with the war flags, as usual, they, you know, the stuff they do to help the atmosphere is tremendous. And then even just a little thing like when Kieran Trippier sort of came over to the East Stand, you know, lined up for kickoff, and the big roar that he got. And then every time he went over, not even to take a corner, just when if he was going short for an option, he got a big roar. So it did feel like another game where the atmosphere was, you know, fantastic. And it has been, to be fair, since the takeover, and especially since Eddie Howe took charge, the atmosphere has been one of the best things about, well, the whole club, really. And yeah, you're right, Saturday did feel like a Premier League game. It was just a shame that they couldn't back up the support with a result, because it would have been nice. I don't think Newcastle would have won the FA Cup this year, but it would have been nice to have a little cup run. But it's one of those things where that's over now. I think we've just got to concentrate on the Premier League, and it's going to be a tough, you know, second half of the season, but there's no excuse not to stay up now.
Yeah, just on the atmosphere, I think the atmosphere has no real right to be as good as it is, considering Newcastle won one game in all competitions all season. But it just shows what a United fan base can do. And if the club were to pick up a couple of wins, the momentum could very quickly build.
Absolutely. It's it's one of the ones where it's just Newcastle at the minute are doing everything right off the field. They just need to replicate that on the field, I think. And I think that will start coming. And we saw the reaction when they beat Burnley, even though it was only 1-0. And I know a lot of people, you know, took the mick out of the dressing room photos, you know, oh, Newcastle won the Champions League and all that. But if they beat Watford on Saturday, it's, you know, it looks positive. And especially if they win and Burnley don't get a result against Leicester, that's Newcastle out the relegation zone, which I know it's only January, but that's such a huge sort of momentum boost to, you know, for anyone really to see Newcastle out the relegation zone. So the atmosphere will play a really big part in that on Saturday.
Yeah, massive game on Saturday that we'll get into in a minute. But in the meantime, the transfer rumours flying around, Newcastle keen to add to the imminent arrival of Chris Wood, I guess we can call it that. I know people don't like that word, imminent. It was attached to the takeover for what seemed like an eternity. But Chris Wood, there's other rumours. Hugo Ekitike from Rome in Ligue 1. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But young striker, 19 years old. He's scored quite a few goals in his breakthrough season there. Fee in the region of 25, 30 million rumoured. There's reports that Newcastle are potentially reluctant to meet that deal, but he's the top scoring teenager in Europe's top five leagues. Joe, what would your thoughts be on that potential deal if it were to come off, or should Newcastle look elsewhere?
I think for me, it's one where now we've got Chris Wood hopefully through the door, it means that you can afford to sign someone who's a bit unproven in the Premier League, someone who you're not sure what you're going to get from him. So if we'd done this podcast maybe 24 hours ago and we were just looking at Ekitike, I might have had a different view. But as I said, because Chris Wood's through the door, for me, I think this is a time where you could potentially take a risk on one of these players. You know, someone who, as I said, is unproven. And to be fair, not many people know very much about him. This is very much his breakthrough season. So why not take a punt on someone like that? 25 million, again, does sound a lot, but when you consider you paid 25 million for, you know, 30-year-old Chris Wood, you know, that might be good value for money. But as for me, certainly, now we've got one through the door, it could be one that we look for. I don't know. What do you think about Ekitike? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, I agree. I think Chris Wood, getting him in is important. If you were putting sort of the hopes and expectations of a club the size of Newcastle on a 19-year-old shoulders in terms of him scoring the goals to keep Newcastle up, I would have had major doubts over that. But if you're in a, if you're thinking long term, which I don't think Newcastle should particularly be doing this transfer window, I think that can wait till the summer. But if you're thinking long term, it could be a deal that makes sense. He's obviously very raw. He doesn't play, doesn't start week in, week out. I think he's only completed 90 minutes twice this season. So he's still very raw, and you want the expectation or the sort of responsibility as a striker to be on the shoulders of someone experienced, someone like Chris Wood, someone like Callum Wilson. So someone like Ekitike can come in and sort of be the wild card, the maverick, and hopefully live up to his potential. And it could be a smart move for Newcastle, but we haven't had many developments, many developments since his name was mentioned and talks are being reported. So we'll see what happens with that. I can't see it happening before the Watford game personally, but we'll see what happens. Because like you say, I think it will be an interesting move. I'll be interested to see how he gets on if he were to come into what would be a relegation battle with Newcastle. But I guess one player we know who probably won't be coming to Newcastle this month anyway is Sven Botman. I think we spoke last time, deal potentially still on the table. It's been reported for a long time, pretty much past month or so really, Sven Botman potentially coming to Newcastle. But Lille are proving very tough customers, reluctant to sell in the Champions League. They're still competing in the league season. Deal looks near enough dead. Joe, are you in agreement that it's off, or are you still hopeful that something could get done?
I don't think I'd ever say, you know, I think I'd say never say never, but as you said, Lille were seemed very reluctant to sort of engage in talks, negotiate. And you can't really blame them, to be fair, because they're, you know, they've got the last 16 Champions League game, you know, against Chelsea coming up, the, you know, reigning league champions. And it's one of the ones where Newcastle at the minute don't have any sort of, you know, they're not a powerful team. They're not one that have got a lot of power in the transfer market to force someone like Botman to maybe force a move. You know, like, remember a few years ago when Yohan Cabaye, you know, went on strike, tried to force a move to Arsenal. The Newcastle right now haven't got anywhere near the power to be able to do that. So if teams are like Neil are just saying, we're not going to negotiate, then there's nothing really they can do. Maybe as the window progresses, maybe Lille might think we could do with, you know, the money you're offering, because, you know, it is quite a big money move, as we've seen. It's, you know, going to be about £40 million. Maybe that changes. But right now, as we've said, Lille clearly have got no reason to negotiate. And it's a shame. I think it would be a miss, but I think Newcastle now just have to, you know, move on. Like we said about Lucas Digne last week, who looks like he's going to Aston Villa, Newcastle now just, once you get a rejection or a, you know, a team not responding to offers, they just need to move on and just try and get enough players in this window to survive the next 5 months. Because as you say, that's all the short-term objective is right now, is Premier League survival. If that's achieved, then it could be one revisit in the summer. Again, they then have more power to be able to get teams to negotiate with them. But right now, they just need to get players through the door. And hopefully one comes in before Watford. But you know, as you say, time's ticking on. It is looking unlikely that anyone else other than Chris Wood will probably be available for that Watford game.
Yeah, just on Botman, I think I'm in the camp where I can't see it happening, but I think if it does happen, it'll be late in the window or something like that, where it just sort of comes out of nowhere, where it's almost like the Chris Wood deal, where it's just right, he's coming up for a medical type thing. But personally, can't see it happening. And Newcastle probably will have to look elsewhere now. And there's so many names being rumoured and stuff like that. Apologies for my pronunciation, but final defender Marcus Senesi, maybe is that his name? Monaco centre back Benoit Badiashil. Those are two names that have done the rounds this week. And Joe, I know you sort of have your finger on the pulse with all these transfer rumours. So based on what you've read, what you've seen elsewhere, do you expect any moves for any other defenders either before Saturday? I know you said it unlikely, but for the rest of the window?
I think, as we know, the Newcastle definitely need to do one. They definitely at least one, probably potentially two. Whether it's any of them names you mentioned, I'm not sure. I think it's always going to be difficult to get players from abroad in, you know, relatively quickly, especially for the Watford game. Chris Wood was probably easier because, you know, he's only travelling from Burnley. It was, you know, the negotiating price was, as we led to believe, a release clause, so they didn't even need to negotiate. Whether people like Badiashil or he was actually injured, isn't he? I think he's out for
exactly. So, weeks. Yeah.
But, you know, players like that, it's going to be difficult to get in. I think that, as you mentioned, there's loads of names. I think they just need to settle on targets, go for them, and find out very quickly if they're available or not. And if they're not available, move on to other targets. People like, for me, I always thought James Tarkowski would be the one to go for. But as as we've seen with Burnley, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think they'll be particularly happy if we take the centre-back and the striker. So I'm not sure on names, because as you said, there's so many that have been linked, so many that have bids.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is. It's a new name every day. But I think there's clearly a priority that needs done. And if we get to deadline day and they haven't got a defender in, that is a worry. But right now, I think it's good to get a striker in. And if they could get a defender before Watford, that would be ideal. But if not, certainly next week, I think that should be their priority.
Yeah. Yeah, I think defender at the start of the window certainly was the priority and still is a major priority. But I think for Saturday, given Newcastle don't have a fit recognised senior striker, I think getting the striker in this week was a clever move. And the defender, I guess, people will argue, is equally urgent. But I think you've still got players available who can play in a centre-back position, whether to do a good job or not is a different kettle of fish entirely.
They play Watford, I think, helps them, because I think if this was I'm no disrespect to Watford, because I said that about Cambridge last week and they turned up and beat them, but Watford are, you know, the biggest of teams and they might not have the biggest threat up front. And I think the centre backs we've got currently probably have enough to deal with it. Now, I know Emmanuel Dennis has been on fire this season, so watch him score a hat-trick on the weekend. But, you know, I think that the fact that playing Watford does give them a little bit of leeway into getting another centre-back in.
Yeah, and massive game, obviously, against Watford. I think you said before, Watford 17th in the table, 13 points, 2 points ahead of Newcastle, who've played a game more. Newcastle sit 19th in the table with 11 points. Joe, how do you see this one going, Joe, and how would you like to see Eddie Howe approach it?
I'd like to see him approach it pretty much exactly how he did against Burnley. I think there needs to be concentration of defence and try and keep a clean sheet, because, you know, they've only kept one all season, and not the only way they're going to win, but I think their main way of trying to win this game is trying to not concede. I think up front they've probably got enough to score in every game. Yes, they didn't do against Cambridge, but with Alan St-Maximin and now hopefully Chris Wood, I think they've got enough to nick a goal. And if they can keep the clean sheet, then I think they should be okay. But for me, I would like to see a bit of concentration on defence and just being really solid and not letting Watford score the first goal. I think it's going to be vital on Saturday. Because I think whoever scores the first goal, the other team nerves will kick in and, you know, the pressure of the game will really get them. So I think making sure they get the first goal and trying not to concede for me.
Yeah, in these type of games where it's so cagey, like we saw in the Burnley game, even arguably against Cambridge, just the one goal, it can just change the course of it entirely. But touch on Alan Saint-Maximin there. I think he's one, for me, had a good game against Man U, but generally since Eddie Howe's come in, he's been just frustrated the life out of me watching it. I think Cambridge was probably the first time this season a large section of Newcastle fans have sort of voiced the frustration at him. He's one of them. We need to see more from him if in terms of end product, if Newcastle are to stay in the Premier League this season.
Absolutely. I think you're right. From the moment he signed, I think there was, you know, there's a lot of people who really love Saint-Maximin, what he can do with the ball, and I was one. And I am one still, because I love every time he gets the ball, you know, he's the only player who gets it on the edge of the seat because you don't know what's going to happen. But you're right, against Cambridge, it was one of them games where it was so frustrating watching him not cross the ball, not pass the ball, you know, pick the wrong pass out. And it was the first time where I felt it was, you just wanted to scream at him, just like, you know, just do something, do it. But hopefully the minds this week have been sharpened and that he can see maybe a striker like Chris Wood in the box, do his tricks, get past the player, and then put that ball in. Because I think that's what's really holding him back. It's his final, as you say, the final product, not just goals, but assists as well. So I think if Newcastle have got that presence up front that he can see and they can get the ball into, then hopefully we can see the best of Saint-Maximin against Watford on Saturday.
Yeah, on that right-hand side against Cambridge, you saw Kieran Trippier. Obviously, everyone knows his ability when it comes to crossing. He was getting frustrated with Saint-Maximin because he was making the run, but never getting the ball. So Kieran Trippier set to make his league debut for Newcastle against Watford this weekend. How do you think he fared on his debut in the FA Cup against Cambridge?
I thought he did well. I think there was a couple of times his passes seemed to go just out of play, but I think that's because the other players didn't seem to be on his level. Yeah, there was a couple of like little balls. I think one went when Sean Longstaff stopped his run and just as Trippier passed it. That sort of thing. So I think it's going to take time for him to adapt to how the side plays. But I was impressed with him. I think he can just, especially his leadership as well. I know we touched on at the end of the game where the players sort of walked off, but the fact that he apparently tried to get some of the players back onto the pitch, clap the supporters. And I think that's one thing he's going to give. He's got quality, but he's also going to give with a drive and determination and a bit of leadership at the back, which I think will be valuable this season.
Yeah, very much so. And yeah, it's going to be a really important game against Watford, obviously. Like you say, Newcastle could move out to the bottom three if the win and better Burnley's results. And it's going to be a potentially decisive game as well. Well,
are you looking forward to it? Or are you trying
to survive it? I'm scared. I think Watford are, although they're in shocking form, they have an unpredictability to them that I don't think Burnley have. Like the Burnley game, I always expected Newcastle to be in that game and give it a right go. And I expected them to win, which they did. The Watford game, I'm not sure. Like we've seen, Watford can just randomly like beat Man U 4-1. They can randomly just pull something out the bag. And even though they're in shocking form, and I certainly shouldn't be as scared of them as I am, but I'm just a bit uneasy. And I think Watford, we saw in the reverse fixture where Newcastle absolutely battered them, but they still managed to get something from the game. And there's a jamminess to them and an unpredictability to them that doesn't fill me with confidence from a Newcastle perspective. But I'm sure Big Chris Wood leading the line, if he buries a Kieran Trippier cross after 5 minutes, it'll be an enjoyable afternoon.
Absolutely. It could be a very different Premier League table at 5 o'clock on Saturday. We could be here next week talking about how that's the start of the, start of the recovery, or we could be talking about how we're 4-5 points behind Watford now. So I think it's only January, but it's a huge, huge game on Saturday.
Yeah. And on that note, I guess we'll wrap up. Hopefully next week we're talking about a good win for Newcastle and potentially some more transfer news as well. So in the meantime, though, you can follow all our latest Newcastle United news over at the Shields Gazette website and by following either myself, Miles Starforth or Joe Buck on Twitter. Also have a transfer window subscription offer over on the Shields Gazette, which gives you an entire year's worth of unlimited ad-like access to our NUFC coverage for just 49p a week. You head over to shieldsgazette.com/subscriptions for more information on that. But for now, Joe, it's been a pleasure, and thanks for listening to the Mouth of the Time podcast.